Rhonda, it's so good to see you.
It's so good to see you too, Terje.
Yeah, it's nice to have you with us. We are so happy that you are with us here in Trondheim again, although you are not here physically this time.
Right. I'm in my heart.
Amen. But it was a blessing to have you here as one of the main speakers for the week of prayer last year. And we really look forward to hear what the Lord has put on your heart this time. These are not ordinary days. It has been a very strange year, but still I believe that God is in full control. And he knows what he's doing and what he wants to bring forth through all of this. So Rhonda, please feel free to share your heart with us. We look forward.
Yeah, thank you so much. We love you guys and we love Trondheim and everything the Lord is doing through you. It's like your family there is such a key to what the Lord's going to do in Norway. So it's really a privilege to be with you this morning and say hi to your whole church family. These aren't ordinary days, but they are very exciting days. I think we're getting used to a new normal. But I think it's important for people to understand that the revival that the Lord promises us in Scripture, it doesn't come in the midst of peace. It actually is going to occur in the midst of very dark days, days of confrontation, days of chaos, days of confusion. So I think I just want to encourage people's hearts that just because we're living in a day filled with such chaos and confusion, not to lose heart and don't lose hope. This is actually something that the Bible talks very clearly about. Jesus talks very clearly about it. So we don't want to be discouraged, but we do want to understand what the days are, what's going on around us. And then I think the question is, what we're going to talk about this morning is, what do we do with our own hearts? How do we respond and how do we prepare for the days that we're living in? What we see in Scripture is that at the end of the age, which I believe we've not only entered into, but is accelerating quickly, the Bible's clear that there's going to be two tracks. There's going to be a track of the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. The Lord's going to be preparing his bride to be without spot or wrinkle, and the enemy's going to be building his harlot, a church system, a religious system without presence, without intimacy. We're going to see the wheat and the tares growing up. We're going to see great deception and confrontation and increasing evil. But in the midst of that, the Bible promises us that God's going to pour out his glory. I'm sitting here with a map across the entire earth, and that he's going to send days of revival like we've never seen before. So we have so much to be excited about and expecting in the days ahead. So I just want to encourage people to stay engaged in their heart with the Lord and prepare for these times, not to pull back, not to become intimidated, not to get in fear, not to get insecure. Jesus is on the throne and he's not only in control. In the throne room, there's no chaos. There's no confusion. This is the unfolding of history and Jesus is the Lord of history. So let's engage with what the Lord is doing in these days. I believe a mighty revival and awakening is stirring even now in the nation of Norway. So these are days to stay involved with the Lord. We're living the greatest adventure I've ever seen. So we're excited. So I just want to share a little bit this morning what the Lord's put on our hearts. A couple of weeks ago, in the midst of all the chaos and confusion going on in my own nation, in the United States, I heard the Lord so clearly. And he said to me, it was very serious. He said, it's time to get oil, he said. And I understood he was talking about the parable of the 10 virgins. And I was meditating on that scripture, and I'm just going to read it and share a moment about that. But, you know, when I read it, I realized this isn't just a message for the church. I felt the fear of the Lord for my own life, for my own heart. And I felt like the Lord was examining, hey, this isn't just a good message for you to teach or preach, but I looked at the condition of my own lamp. How much oil do I have? What's the condition of my lamp? These are days where we can't just be part of the crowd. We can't just be part of a church or part of a movement or engaging in a ministry or something online. You know how we all just kind of go with the flow in different ministries and things that we enjoy. But these are days where we really have to look at our own hearts and the condition of our lamp. So let me just read this. It's in Matthew 25. Jesus, very clearly in Matthew, is describing the troubles and the tribulation at the end of the age. And he's talking about, he shares four parables, actually. One of those is a parable of the 10 virgins with a very clear message that we have to make intimacy with Jesus our highest priority in these days. These are days that it's very dangerous to be lukewarm or half-hearted. We have to be engaged with the Lord's heart. So the parable is really short. It says, then in those days, the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. So there's 10 virgins and they have a mission. They all are going out. They know the bridegroom's coming. They all take their lamps. But it says five of them were wise and five of them were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil. Those who were wise took oil in their vessels and with their lamps. So you have a picture of two different kinds of people. They're both looking for the bridegroom. So they understand the day that they're living in. But five of them just grabbed their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. But the other five were wise, and they also cultivated oil. So their lamps were filled with oil. So when they met the bridegroom, they would have oil in their lamp. And then there's this picture or this verse where they hear this shout, they go to sleep, they hear this shout, the bridegroom is coming. And so they all wake up and they go to trim their lamps. The five foolish virgins had no oil when the bridegroom arrived. So they said to the five wise virgins, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise virgins answered, no, but go, let's see, I need my glasses for the rest of it. The five wise virgins answered and said, no, but go rather to those who sell the oil and buy for yourselves. So the five wise virgins understood that spiritual preparedness isn't something that you can, it's not transferable. In other words, in those days, I can't come to you, Tarjei, or another leader in Norway and say, oh my gosh, the Lord's coming and I need your oil, give me your oil. We have to cultivate the oil, which represents the anointing and the presence of the Holy Spirit. This is the activity of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So we have to cultivate that individually. And I felt such a warning from the Lord. And I consider myself a mature believer. I've been saved over 30 years. I've been a missionary for 25 of those years. I serve the Lord. I love Jesus. But I felt the warning, okay, what's the condition of my lamp? And Tommy and I both felt this urgency to increase our time with Jesus, to cultivate the oil of his presence in our lives. We can't get that from other people. So the question we've been asking is, we're living in days of chaos and confusion. The storms around us are, I don't know how other people feel, but we feel an increase in demonic activity in the strategies of the enemy. Some days there's such an oppression over us. It's just heavy. We don't even know where it's from, but we can feel the increase of the presence of darkness. But we also are seeing breakthroughs of the glory of God and the presence of God. And we're finding that the more time we spend with Jesus, the more we listen, the more we're hearing from him, the more he's directing our steps. It's getting really much more interesting and much more exciting. So we feel expectant in our hearts. So we've been asking the Lord, what are you saying to Norway? What should we be doing in these days as they're increasing and the darkness is increasing? Of course, he promises us so many things, but he's drawn my attention to two scriptures. And I'm going to start with Revelation chapter 3, because this is a letter that Jesus wrote actually to a very, a mega church. It would have been a mega church in their day in Asia. It was a very successful church. They were rich. It was a center of healing. But yet the Lord writes a letter warning this church about their lukewarm condition. And he says to them something interesting. He says, he does something interesting in this passage and in the other passage, which I'll read. Jesus always, he wants to speak truth to us. We can't be afraid of truth. The job of the Holy Spirit is to reveal Jesus and to identify things in us that aren't like Jesus. So he wants to conform us into the image of Jesus Christ. So we don't want to be afraid when the Lord says, you know, let's talk about this, or I want to show you something. It's a conviction. He's not condemning us, but he does want to speak truth to us. The second thing Jesus always does, or the Father always does, is he gives us a prescription. He doesn't just tell us what's wrong. He tells us how to change or what we need to do. And then finally, the third thing he does is he always gives us a promise. So in Revelation chapter 3, the Lord tells them their trouble. And this is the assessment that Jesus makes of the church. He says, because you're lukewarm and neither hot or cold, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. I mean, it's an extreme reaction from the Lord, how he feels about a lukewarm church. But then he says, this is what you think about yourselves. This is your self-assessment. You say, I am rich. I have need of nothing. And you've become wealthy. So the church, their position, their assessment of themselves, oh, I don't need anything. I'm wealthy. I'm rich. I don't need anything. I'm good. I'm doing okay. But then the Lord says, and he says, let me show you, or let me tell you my assessment. So in these days, it's really important that we don't just self-validate ourselves to feel good. That's not going to help us. We need the Holy Spirit to tell us how we're really doing, to look in our hearts, what's really going on in there. So Jesus comes and says, well, you don't know that you're really wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Wow, that's a lot of honesty, you know? But we don't want to be discouraged by his assessment. But the Lord was telling them their true condition, that they were miserable. They couldn't see, they were blind, they were naked, they were in a place of shame, and they were poor, meaning they didn't have any presence of the Lord. So he tells them their condition, but then he gives them his counsel. And this is what we need today. We need the counsel from the Lord. And what's interesting is his counsel begins with, buy from me gold refined in the fire, or get oil, right? The Lord says, you need gold that's been refined. Now, we're all in days of trial. There's fire all around us. Our lives are full of fiery trials and challenges. But what Jesus is saying is that there's gold that comes out of that fire, not to despise it, but to actually find the gold in the fire. So he says, take from me gold that's been refined in the fire so that you actually can be rich, right? It's the gold that we get in the fire that makes us rich in Christ. He said, and take the white garments to cover the shame of your nakedness. He says, he looks at us, he says, yes, you're naked. You can't cover yourselves. You're in a place of shame, but I'm going to give you white garments. I'm going to give you the garments that will cover you. I will cover you. I will cover your shame with something that's pure and something that's holy. And then he says, and then take the eye salve. So that, let me anoint your eyes with eye salve so that you can see. So the third thing he offers them is an eye salve because they were blind, but he says, I can give you eye salve. I can do something to your eyes so that you actually can see. So Jesus comes to us in our shame and our miserable condition and our pride and our self-sufficiency. He says, let me give you a little bit more oil. Let me give you the gold that's come out of your fire. Let me cover you so you're not in shame, and let me anoint your eyes so you can see. This is an incredible prescription that he offers us. And then he says, as many as I love, I rebuke. So again, let's not be offended if the Lord is convicting our hearts. If he loves us, he's going to do that. Now he says something interesting. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. So Jesus, he's knocking on the door. But what's interesting about that is that means Jesus has found himself on the outside of the church that he's correcting. This is really serious stuff. When Jesus is on the out, this was a church. This was a church that Paul probably planted. This was a church that was birthed out of the New Testament apostolic church. It had been filled with signs and wonders, healing and miracles. It was large, full of people. How is it that Jesus is now on the outside trying to get back on the inside? Does that have something to do with their lukewarm condition? Yeah, I think it does. I think when we lose the presence, when we lose the gold, when we lose the oil, when we're full of shame and we're naked and we can't see, that condition somehow leads Jesus to step on the outside. But in his mercy, he's knocking, he's inviting us. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if you open the door, I will come in to you. I will fellowship with you. I want to be with you. Jesus is inviting us to hear and to open the door so that he can come back on the inside. And then he gives this amazing promise. To him who overcomes what? Overcomes their lukewarm, compromised condition of a religious church without the presence, without the oil, without the gold, without the ISAP, without the white garments. To him who overcomes that condition, he says, I will allow you to sit with me on my throne. Oh my gosh. Jesus comes to the compromised church and says, I see you. You're miserable. But listen, I have gold for you. I have garments. I have ISAP. I'm knocking. Invite me in so I can fellowship with you. And then when you overcome that lukewarm, compromised condition, I'm going to invite you to sit with me on my throne. It's incredible, the promise of God. So I believe that's his heart. I believe he's inviting us into a place today where we leave maybe our religious activities or our busy lives or our self-sufficiency, and we actually ask and invite him inside to examine our hearts and say, wow, what's going on in there? You know, do I need ISAP? Am I blind? Do I need a garment? Is there purity in my heart? And just to allow the Holy Spirit to show us, but then to take his prescription and get some oil, get some fire, and get those garments so we can sit with him. Now, Revelation 4, immediately following, is an incredible, all of a sudden, Revelation 3 ends with this overcoming church that's sitting with Jesus around the throne. And then Revelation 4, 1 opens up with this amazing scene in the throne room and a door. It says, after these things, Paul, it says, John looked and he saw a door standing open in heaven. So we need to be a people right now that are connected and engaged with the Holy Spirit, in love with Jesus, pure hearts, having the gold, the white garments, the ISAP, overcoming the status quo condition of the lukewarm church in our nation, so that we can sit with him on his throne, so that we can look and see the things that are going to take place after this. We have to have eyes to see in these days, but we can't have eyes to see if we don't have oil and fire in our hearts, you know. So this is just part of the same story of the preparation I believe he's bringing to us. So what do we do practically? And now I want to turn to my second scripture. This is a famous verse. It's 2 Chronicles 7:14. I think most of us know it. We've been praying it for years. But there's a little revelation the Lord gave me about this passage. He said to me one day, because we've been praying it forever, right? We all pray it in our prayer meetings. But the Lord told me one day, he said, this isn't a prayer. This isn't a prayer that you pray. This is a lifestyle that you're supposed to live with me. So if you go to 2 Chronicles 7:14, the prayer is in chapter 6. I won't go into that, but it'd be interesting for you to, I just want to encourage you to read it. in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, Solomon is actually praying. There is a prayer in chapter 6. But in chapter 7, verse 13, the Lord comes to Solomon. So this is the Lord speaking. So this is not Solomon's prayer. This is the Lord answering Solomon's prayer. And the Lord, we see the same three points in this verse, these verses. We see the Lord telling Solomon the trouble. He gives him the news. This is the condition. He gives him a prescription, and then he gives him a promise. So in chapter 7, verse 13, the Lord says to Solomon, the Lord is describing now a day of trouble. And he says, when I shut up the heavens and there is no rain, that's speaking of natural rain, or also it's spiritual when the Lord shuts up the heavens. He said, when I shut up the heavens and there is no rain, or when I command the locusts to devour the land, or I send pestilence among my people. Now, this is interesting. This is a day of terrible trouble. The Lord is saying the heavens are closed. But what's disturbing about it, it's the Lord that has shut up the heavens. It's the Lord that's commanding the locusts. And it is the Lord that sent the pestilence. Now, that's disturbing. We don't like to think of God like that. But God is like that. And God's judgments are designed to reveal his mercy, because his intention is to pursue people that are wandering away and draw them back to himself. So God's judgments are always based on his mercy. So the Lord says, when I'm doing these things, you're supposed to notice when you're in a day of trouble. In other words, don't ignore the signs. We're living in a day full of signs, things that are very clear in scripture. And we're supposed to pay attention to the trouble that we're in. But then the Lord says, when you see this happening, there's something you're supposed to do about it. And he does not say, just go declare heavens be open in the name of Jesus. That doesn't work, because God shut the heavens. He doesn't say, go and just bind up the locusts or rebuke the pestilence. That's not the prescription God gives. He says, when you get in this much trouble, this is what you need to do. He says, if my people, that means speaking of his family, God is the father of a real family. And he says, if my people, not everybody in the world, but if my people, those that are called by my name, will humble themselves. So that's the first instruction. He says, if they will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. This is what I call the divine prescription in scripture. There, you see this not only in the Old Testament, you see it in the New Testament, and we just saw the very same prescription in the book of Revelation. It's just the ways of God. When people wander away from God, they get in trouble. We get in serious trouble, and God will come to us and he'll say, hey, wait a minute. He will send warnings. He will send judgments. He'll send prophetic words. And he'll say, you've wandered away. You're going to get in trouble. This is how you return to me. And any time that we have wandered off in our own pride or our own self-sufficiency, or we've become entangled, this is our big issue now. We become entangled in the spirit of the age, the world around us. You know, we've become part of the culture. We become part of the Antichrist system without even recognizing it. The Lord says, hey, you've wandered away from me. I'm going to pursue you with my love, with my mercy, but you have to return. You can't continue on in your ways and expect me to go with you and expect the blessing of our relationship and the protection of our covenant relationship if you're outside of my love and my protection. It's, you know, in Psalm 91, the Lord says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest under his shadow. So if we want to rest in a place of peace, we have to dwell under the shelter. You know, if we leave the shelter and we just know I'm going to go my own way, we actually come out from underneath the protection of the shadow of the Lord. So it's the same in 2 Chronicles. So the Lord says, the first thing we need to do is humble ourselves. then we need to seek his face. Again, the place of intimacy. This is how we get oil. We come to the Lord and we say, Lord, here we are. I don't even know what's wrong. I don't even know if what is going on in my heart. I don't know how I'm living my life, but I want to humble myself before you. I want to surrender myself to you. And I want to seek your face. The face of God doesn't mean we literally see his face, although that would be nice. But our faces represent the place of intimacy, right? When we meet a friend and we talk to each other, you know, I'm not looking at your shoulder. I'm not looking at the piano behind you. I'm looking at your face because that's who you are. That's how we connect. The face represents a relationship, an intimacy. So we need to seek his face. And then we also need to turn from our wicked ways. And I, you know, our wicked ways in the church isn't, I'm not suggesting that we're out killing people and robbing banks. I don't think that's mostly the trouble we have in the church. But I think in Galatians and Romans and Corinthians and the epistles, it's very clear that the sin in the church, things like gossip, slander, the sin of unbelief, the sin of unforgiveness, the lust of the flesh and the eyes, materialism. You know, there's so many things in our hearts that aren't like Jesus that need to be cleaned. And we need to say, Lord, I'm sorry. Wow, I didn't even realize. This is my continuing prayer before the Lord. You know, Lord, I just see so much pride. So much every day. It's like an unending battle. Lord, I see that. I'm really sorry. Forgive me for being so self-righteous. I see somebody else and their obvious sin and I judge it, or I feel self-righteous because I'm not as bad as that guy. You know, it's so easy to allow these lies or these little foxes. It talks about in the Song of Solomon, to start affecting our intimacy and grow and starts growing in our heart. So we need to let the Lord examine us. And then we just need to say, we're sorry. I mean, in every relationship, we have to be willing to say, we're sorry. If I hurt you, if I did something wrong, I'm sorry. People that say, no, repentance is part of the old covenant, don't understand who God is. They don't know him. Any relationship, every real relationship, requires honesty, vulnerability, humility. And if we've made a mistake or if we've hurt each other, we've offended each other, we need to say, I'm sorry. So this is how we maintain our intimacy with God. And then there's an amazing promise. The Lord says, after you've done that, he says, now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer made in this place. So the implication is his eyes weren't open and his ears weren't listening to the prayer because of their condition. It's exactly the same thing in the book of Revelation. So in our compromise, in our trouble, the Lord isn't necessarily hearing all of our prayers. He's not necessarily looking at us. But he promises here, if you will return to me, he says, now my eyes are going to be open. My ears are going to be attentive to the prayer made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there forever. Friends, this is what we want. We want the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ in Norway to recognize the day of trouble, to take the prescription, to humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and get the oil and get the gold refined by the fire and clothe ourselves with who he is. And then he says to us, now I'm going to see you. I'm going to hear you. We want the attention of heaven on the church in Norway. We need it. We need Jesus and his presence and the leadership of his Holy Spirit to be in the middle of our hearts, the middle of our marriages, our families, and our congregations, so that he can work through us and bring the revival that he's promised in the days ahead. So I think this is a divine invitation. These are days of invitation, and we're actually starting a process based on 2 Chronicles 7:14 in a couple of places in Norway in March. where people are going to join together and actually do this, not pray it, but actually do it. So we're excited. We believe the Lord is inviting us into a day of preparation, and he'll follow with days of revival. So you guys are on the front lines. Excuse me. The Lord has called you for such a season. He's prepared you for such a season. You've been gaining fiery gold. I'm assuming you've been in fiery trials. All of us on the front lines have been in fiery trials. But find the gold. Get the oil that's being crushed. Excuse me. Take the fragrance that comes from the crushing and take it all before the Lord and say, Lord, I want to surrender to you. I want to be prepared. I want to be a messenger. You know, I want to be one of the wise virgins, not the foolish. So we're prepared in the days ahead so that we can lead those that are lost and confused, full of fear, in hiding. You know, we need to be messengers in these days. And so I feel really excited about that. And I just want to bless you guys. Can I just pray a prayer of blessing over you? So Jesus, I just pray for this amazing family that you love, that you have called for your purposes in these days of storm and chaos. These are days of incredible preparation. And I pray that you would release a divine invitation to increased humility, increased surrender, increased intimacy with your heart, Jesus. I pray that you would cultivate and give them oil and the gold refined and fresh white garments that are that will cover any shame of their nakedness. And I pray, Lord, that you would encourage their hearts with faith. I pray that you would just push back every spirit of unbelief, all unforgiveness, anything that's in between you and them. And you would gather them together in your presence in these days and fill their hearts with faith for what you have in the days ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. And bless you. Hope to see you soon.